This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Tuesday, December 13th. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Andy, Mike, and Jason back with you. Al Borland, somewhere in outer space. Judge Giamatti is here, the Borgogan as well. We're through it. You're either happy or sad right now. There are two states of mind, states of being. You are happy. You are sad. You are casting blame upon whatever, or you are rejoicing in your absolute perfect skill.
And I feel like last night was about the equivalent of we were all running the marathon race. The ribbon is there. And that game, we ran, and it was the ribbon didn't break. No. We all bounced off of it and crumpled down into a heap of injured bodies.
Yeah, some of us ran through the ribbon that sliced us in half.
Yes,
that was a brutal game, both in many ways, injury wise, football wise, Cardinal wise. So that was not very fun. But remember, if you're in any of your leagues still, that is your most important league.
Yes, it is.
Be happy because you're in the playoffs, baby.
Yeah, last night was a mess. Kyler Murray almost certainly tore his ACL and will miss a long period of time.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to go into 2023 without him. When you get him back, will he run the football? I mean, the question marks are robust now in Arizona. You also have, I mean, I don't know, does it make him less attractive for a Sean Payton at this point? Does it change the narrative for the end of the season, right? Like if you take Kyler Murray and you still go, you know, the Cardinals have a pretty easy schedule over the back four games. And so there was a world where they could run off five straight and Cliff Kingsbury would stay the coach. There was a world where you could blow games against bad teams and then maybe they make a change. It all goes to the pot now. I mean, it's just a mess. Cardinals get whooped up on by the Patriots, 27-13. Ramondre Stevenson left with an ankle injury. You're going to be monitoring his injury heading into the playoffs.
Twice.
Yeah, he did that. I got hurt. I taped it up. I couldn't run on it. And then Devontae Parker was out with a concussion.
James Conner left the game. Couple
back,
of times, but he was fine.
He was great.
Yeah.
I mean, James Conner has run in the last handful of games better than I've seen him in Arizona in an yeah. Arizona uniform.
The touchdown run was, I mean, not very long, maybe a 10-yarder or so, but it was an incredible run of, he looked like just absolutely trapped in the line, but kept churning those legs and going, and ends up with the touchdown.
He's going to be great for the playoffs. Sorry, I just think that like one carry for somebody other than James Conner in the offense, he gets every single snap. He catches 5 to 6 passes a week now.
Yeah, especially with Colt McCoy there, I'll bet he catches even more passes going forward. And the nice thing was he did this against a really tough defense. It wasn't, you know, the Patriots' run defense is fantastic. So to actually, you look at the playoff strength of schedule, and it doesn't appear very great for James Conner. But this one wasn't great, and he ran through guys and looked really good.
And we saw it, Fookland, the Kyler injury. We know the implications because our dynasty league. A team needed what? I think 0.7.
That's what he came up short with.
Yeah, he needed 0.7 more points from Kyler, which, I mean, like coming into the game, whatever, I know it's...
That's a guarantee.
Yes, and didn't get it, misses the playoffs because of it, saw several teams with, like, Kyler and Ramondre Stevenson, like, going into Monday night, I needed 6 points.
Oh, man.
And so, I mean, just...
I saw one of those
absolute brutal finish.
I saw one of those where a guy needed a couple points from them, and he ended up having faced Jerick McKinnon, Chuba Hubbard, and Evan Ingram. Other team didn't even feel much of a roster, but felt used those three players. I mean, this is
it's part of the game.
Part of the game. We were joking around in the studio yesterday. It's like. You know, one of our developers had a win and in situation, faced Evan Ingram, is out. And it was like, this is fantasy. This isn't changing. You're never going to get to the point where what you put on paper happens every single week. You know this because you see the betting lines. You see the way Vegas maths these games out, and then things turn on their head, and the Rams win on a Thursday night, and Denver keeps it close against Kansas City.
And Houston is winning deep into the fourth quarter against the Dallas Cowboys.
It's just what it is. Implications of the injury for Ramondre. You know, you saw Pierre Strong Jr. come in with a big game, 70 yards on the ground, a touchdown, caught two passes. We'll be watching really closely as to whether you have Ramondre and no Harris, Ramondre and Harris, neither, and then it's Pierre
Harris,
Strong.
No Ramondre.
That being Damian Harris.
Yes.
Because also Kevin Harris, their other rookie, is someone that
fair enough
might be worth picking up. So it'll be very interesting this week. Obviously, as we get into the running back waivers today, we'll just have to make our decisions right now as to which New England Patriot we're going for.
All right, let's jump into some news before we hit the waiver wire.
News and notes from around the league, presented by USAA Insurance.
Well, the Cowboys,
they're signing a wide receiver.
Oh, no.
This is a man who really likes it in Texas.
Yeah.
Historically.
A week too late.
T.Y. Houston himself, see if he can be as effective in Dallas, but T.Y. Hilton.
So T.Y. Hilton signs with the Cowboys. You would expect that they are not going to sign Odell Beckham. Maybe it doesn't completely rule it out, but you wouldn't think they're going to bring in two guys. So maybe Odell Beckham looks towards the Buffalo Bills, who he visited, who seem like they need a wide receiver. Oh, wait a minute. They just signed Cole Beasley.
Yeah, to the practice squad. Cole Beasley is unretired again. So we're doing that. Is that the pre-retirement where you come back just for the playoffs? Is that the game?
I mean,
you saw Beckham, right? His interview.
No,
not interview, but he was on the LeBron show.
I did not see this.
Yeah, and he just said there's no point in coming back for the regular season. He's like, I don't. He's like, I could do it probably, but I'm not going to because why?
Wow.
Why? Yeah, I can name a reason or two.
Yeah,
he said I'm here for the big stage.
If I'm running the team and I hear that. I don't know. That's not my favorite comments in the world.
If I'm coaching the team, I'd be like, yeah, I'd like to make sure you're ready for the playoffs. Maybe know the system.
I did mention on Sunday that the Beasles looked like he was missing from this offense.
Yes, you did.
And his people got a hold of him. He said, sure, I'll play football for money. And then he's back. And did you guys talk about the Josh Allen press conference bit that's going around yesterday?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we mentioned it.
Because that was something else.
And the idea of a press conference where it's just
the player
is sitting there, and it's just the reporters are just saying things.
Yeah, that was not
a
question.
Hey, Josh, love your car.
I mean, just okay.
Okay.
That was ridiculous. I couldn't believe it. T. Higgins.
Do you have a question? No.
But I'm not a big fan of that razor commercial you've been doing. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it does look like a team that could win a Super Bowl. All right. Yeah, you be you. So T.Y. Hilton, not a fantasy signing there in Dallas, just helps, you know, potentially helps
Dak. Could help Dak,
yeah. T. Higgins, hamstring day-to-day. That's going to be real fun for you, Mike, making that decision for this upcoming weekend. Because we know the possibility is he plays and he's fine. He mm-hmm. plays and he's not fine. He says he's going to play and he doesn't play. Or he doesn't play.
I think with this hamstring injury, you have to have, I feel like, two full practices. If he's not practicing in full on Thursday, I will have a really hard time putting him in my lineup.
And I was... excuse me, reminded, this was the second time that T. Higgins has done this.
Yeah.
He did it back in like week five or something.
Now, wasn't Zach Taylor the one who said he held him out? It was his decision?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thanks for that, Zach.
Mike White, day-to-day with a rib injury, planning for him to be out there for the Jets. DJ Moore, knee sprain. Sayonara. I mean, we're going to talk waivers today. Send DJ Moore packing. He's not going to help your fantasy playoffs.
Yep.
Andy Dalton, he's going to stay the starter. For the Saints.
Because it's working, you know? Why change it? If it ain't broke, I mean, if it's super broke, don't fix it.
I think it's more one of those, like, if it's broke, it'll still be broken regardless of what we do. So broke is how we operate.
They're still in the race, right? Because Tampa Bay lost.
Just barely.
No, everybody's pretty close, like within one
five
game.
5-8, right? But I guess Tampa Bay's 6-7.
Everybody's
so
bad.
Yeah, that's one back.
I guess that's fair.
Like, I believe the Panthers control their own destiny right now.
They can win out. Yes.
Yeah. If they actually
that's
get,
why they're
they
in
make
the hunt.
Playoffs.
Oh baby,
that's unbelievable.
I know, it's just the grossest.
Look, if anything happens for the Panthers, as long as it is two more victories, then
no Baker,
people might be happy.
No CMC.
Getting it done.
No problem.
Yeah.
Steve Wilks, what's up?
Got Deonta and Chuba.
Damien Pierce, he's going to miss 1 to 2 weeks. Team waived Eno Benjamin as a result. that's how unlikable Eno is. I kept picturing the idea of like an empty backfield being somehow better than Eno in it for these teams.
And they literally are still handing the ball off. They're just dropping it on the ground.
Yeah. No, yeah. You turn around, you do hand it. But no, Eno was let go. So they signed Jared Doakes, and we're not going to have Damien Pierce for your fantasy playoffs most likely. And I doubt you're going to want to play him coming back from an ankle sprain in 3 weeks. Doesn't look good for Mike Boone to return this season for the Broncos. Marlon Mack, the last Mack standing.
Yeah, he is.
The Seahawks, Kenneth Walker, limited. Estimated injury report.
Oh, because of course they're the Thursday game. Come on.
Yeah, the night, that's what I was going to bring up. I really doubt that Kenneth Walker plays this week. He was a full DNP all last week. So he hasn't practiced yet, and they play on Thursday. So I'd be surprised, but I mean, it's not.
I have a feeling he might play.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Deep down?
I mean, not in the witchcraft area, okay, but all right. But just the way the team's talking, I have a hunch. I put him 50-50 myself.
And I would say that is...
you ever jammed your ankle, Mike?
No,
what that's all about.
You've been jammed.
I'm saying that could be terrible for people.
It could.
Like,
it's San Francisco.
I think Ken Walker missing this week may be the biggest blessing you could get for fantasy purposes.
Do we want to just say bench him?
Yes.
Because that's...
Just take a formal policy here on Tuesday?
Taking all of the injury risk into that game against San Francisco,
who lets no one run,
is you better hope that, like, if you played him and you get the line of 15 for 40 and a touchdown, that's you'd be rooting tooting Cowboys for that line. It's just it's going to be a really big problem.
This is not a great game for Seattle fantasy options. Like agreed. It's just I know that they're at home, right?
Correct.
That's helpful. That's definitely helpful for kind of defensive momentum against a team that has no running backs. But I'd be nervous if I had Seattle options heading into week one of the playoffs. Brock Purdy got an MRI on Monday. Josh Johnson would have to start for Brock Purdy if Purdy couldn't go.
Dude, Josh Johnson, he is infinite. He just keeps popping up.
Yeah, there's got to be a little text chain for everybody's favorite backups that the coaches go to because Josh Johnson's on that list.
Yes.
And then Debo, sprained MCL, ankle sprain, expected to return at some point. Not for your
fantasy
team.
During the regular season. What is that? That is a very strange timeline.
Yeah, the actual timeline should put him back for the playoffs, but the team put out a presser saying that they hope and expect to have him back in the regular season. If for fantasy purposes, you're not going to have him back. Like I would cut Debo and move on. But it's great news that he didn't, break his ankle.
Yeah. There will be Christian McCaffrey bearing as much of the load as humanly possible.
Yes.
That was today's news and notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance.
Welcome to The Fold, presented by Samsung Galaxy.
Very important show.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming you're still around in your fantasy leagues. We looked back at week 15 waivers last year.
Wow.
And there were league winners sitting on the waiver wire that people didn't know were going to be league winners. Amon-Ra was 32% rostered, became the playoff king last year.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Lazard was 11% rostered, ended up wide receiver 21, 13, and 11 the last 3 weeks. How about Rashad Penny?
Oh, yeah, won a title with Rashad Penny last year.
24% rostered at this point last year was the running back one. So just think about that for a second. On the waiver wire was the number one playoff running back at this point last year.
And this happens.
And we came on and said, we guarantee he's going to be the number one running back for the playoffs. Remember that?
Oh, I remember.
Kyle, you remember that?
Great call, guys. Well,
thank you.
Called it all. But
we checked the tape. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't. We scrubbed that, Brooks.
cut that. Every single year this happens. There are waiver wire guys that win your championship. So if you're thinking like, oh, I've lost so-and-so to injury and I'm in the playoffs, but now my run is over. No, it's not. Make your moves.
Well, and an example of that might be, and this is not me making the Rashad Penny call, but players like Pierre Strong Jr., they're an example of the type of opportunities that can, manifest down the stretch where a team like the Patriots are fighting for their playoff lives. They need to run the football. They have provided fantasy value with the running backs throughout the year, and then suddenly an opportunity is there, and the guy is not rostered anywhere. I mean, in redrafts, he's not going to be on any rosters. So don't forget to pay close attention this week. Take some shots, even if they don't pan out in week one. Take some shots, and we will welcome a number of new players into the fold and see if they can help your fantasy roster.
And tis the time of the season where you are not just looking at your roster.
Mm-hmm.
Look at who you're playing. If you have a bye week, you might want to be looking like just some projecting. Who may I be playing next week? Do they need a position? Can I block that team by picking up who I believe is the best shot? Now, clearly, you can't pick up every single player on the waivers, but you need to be active. Don't just look at your bench and go, I'm cool. Make sure look at someone else's bench. If they are not cool, keep them iced.
You've already prepared and you've picked up your defense for week 16. Great. But does your opponent have no good defense to play and there's another good one out there? Just pick them up.
Yep.
Yeah, I have a dynasty team that has lost all its backup quarterbacks, and I've just been grabbing other backups around the NFL. You saw last night, Kyler Murray goes down and Colt McCoy is suddenly a quarterback in play. So lots can happen. And I would also say just, if you're in it, like you don't have a bye week, like your championship week is this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's not 2 weeks from now. I know that you'd love to project the matchup for week 17, but this is your championship. You lose this week, you're gone. So treat it as such. Spend whatever you need to on Fab to secure a win this week and figure it out for next week, because a lot can happen. The juggernauts that you think are juggernauts could lose a player mm-hmm. or two. So, all right, let's welcome some wide receivers into the fold. It looks like at the tippy top of our list right now, DJ Chark, 55% rostered, however, but plays the Jets, Carolina, Chicago. He's not number one on my wide receiver list.
He's not number one on my list either.
I think he is on Mike's, though.
He is difficult because the matchup this week is not great against the New York Jets on the road, but he has been spectacular in the last couple of weeks since returning from injury. He does have, you know, the Jameson Williams issue of what is Jameson Williams snaps look like next week, because he went from, you know, I think it was 10 into about 20%, but the last 2 weeks against Jacksonville, 5 for 98, 6 for 94 with the touchdown against Minnesota. He is, I would say we're saying if you're playing for this week, probably not my number one. If you have a bye week though, I think that DJ Chark is someone who should be picked up because you get Carolina in 2 weeks.
Truth is Donovan Peoples-Jones, Zay Jones, and DJ Chark are not available in a lot of leagues. So
sure.
I would put them personally. I'd be Zay, Peoples-Jones, and then Chark. Jason, I don't know what.
Yeah, I have Zay above DJ Chark, but my number one pickup.
Yeah, I think you're going to go where.
My number one pickup this week is Elijah Moore.
Yeah.
In this matchup, you have one of the worst defenses against wide receivers in Detroit and the best defense against wide receivers in the New York Jets. And I realize that Elijah Moore has let people down for a while, but if you look at a lot of stuff that's going on there, I think you could trust him. I think you can pick him up and play him in the playoffs. Elijah Moore has had 16 targets the last 2 weeks. Corey Davis is probably going to miss this game. The matchup is perfect, and you have Mike White there. He ran 84% of the routes. So, I mean, this is now a full-time wide receiver with talent. He's playing out of the slot, which kills the Detroit Lions. I think Elijah Moore is my number one pickup.
Yeah, I'm going to move him up.
For teams that need a play this week.
I'm slightly more concerned about the downside. I see the upside, but if Corey Davis is back, like, you know, the targets and the routes run last week are a partial mm-hmm. reflection of the injury to Corey Davis. Denzel Mims still playing 70% of snaps. So if Corey Davis came back, I would be a little concerned. You know, Minnesota matchup was good for Elijah Moore the week before, where he only had two catches, but I do see the path to upside, and if Corey Davis misses a game due to his concussion, like, what more would you want than Mike White against Detroit and Jared Goff in that matchup?
I would agree with you. This is projecting Corey Davis out. I would be much less confident if, not that Elijah Moore couldn't get it done, but like, I want him to have the 10 targets against Detroit, because I think if he does, he'll have a great game, and if Corey Davis is there, it could go elsewhere.
Now, Chris Moore is 5% rostered, and Kyle, what did I tell you I wasn't supposed to do on Friday?
Yeah, you shouldn't have pivoted at all.
So I did pivot. I did pivot mid-show.
Yeah.
And I took Chris Moore out of my flex. Chris Moore went 10 for 124. I did mention it at the end of the show, so if somebody took that, I mean, you wouldn't have
now,
from me, but Chris Moore had a monster game.
I have a big question for you, though. Had you have not pivoted?
Yeah.
Away from Chris Moore,
yeah,
would he have had a big game?
No, you're right. I provided the big game.
Thank you.
I didn't think about that.
Do me a favor.
I would have also definitely won by a lot
and
in our little shame town, or Andy's shame-a-thon, whatever we want to call it.
Don't pick him up. Yeah, my three wide receiver pickups, my rankings are Elijah Moore, Chris Moore, and then Jason Moore, and then Zay Jones. Those
interesting.
I think so.
You have the. Do we have any more information on Nico or Brandon Cooks?
Brandon Cooks, I would not see coming back. Nico
is probably
more
paddleboarding somewhere right now. Like, I don't think
super hurt, guys.
I don't think Brandon
splash,
Cooks
splash.
I don't think Brandon Cooks is checking the box score even.
No, 100%. So, I mean, Nico could come back, but even without Nico, you've lost Damian Pierce. You're playing against the Kansas City Chiefs. You're going to be throwing the entire game, and it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know how Chris Moore doesn't have a PPR decent game. If you're trying to pick someone up where you're like, I've got an 8-point baseline, maybe I can get 14 points out of this, and, I mean, that's your dude.
He freaks me out a little bit with all the other variables. Because, like, the 2 weeks before, three targets. If the other guys are on the field, then Chris Moore has a lot of risk.
Yeah, that's fair. Other lower-tier options to pay attention to is the wide receiver room in New England. Depending on what happens with Devontae Parker's concussion and the return of Jacoby Myers, you can take some dart throws at the Aguilar, Thornton, Kendrick Bourne trifecta as they take on the Raiders, a vulnerable defense.
Yeah, it's a good matchup. That would be the order I would put them in, Aguilar, Thornton, and Kendrick Bourne. But I would need both of those other wide receivers to be out to be confident enough to play them. I don't know that
yeah,
we'll
Jacoby could be back.
Yeah, I would expect Myers to be back, Parker to be out.
Is there a world where this is more of an elevation of the tight end confidence than it is the wide receiver room?
Possibly. Yeah, I mean, we saw Hunter Henry have a good game. Their two biggest plays of yesterday were two Hunter Henry on two different seam plays. That being said, it was the Arizona Cardinals who contractually are not allowed to guard tight ends. So maybe you could pick up Hunter Henry if you're missing other wide receiver options. And obviously, you're missing a wide receiver option in Ramondre Stevenson, who's been catching so many passes out of the backfield.
Yeah, it's crazy because I feel like I can make a storyline for why each of those three wide receivers would be the best one for the week, which is what concerns me as well, like Aguilar, Thornton, and Bourne. Like, I feel like it could be any of them, and that would be a little bit of a gamble for your fantasy roster in the playoffs. But you can drop DJ Moore and take your shot if you want to. Other players of potential interest, Robert Woods does take on the Chargers defense, and if they don't have the return of Treylon Burks, you could take a shot there. And Richie James had 9 targets, PPR targeting Richie James, 19% rostered, 7 for 61 and a touchdown. He finds his way into the end zone. Like, if you looked at him as a potential DFS play last week, he had a couple of games where he got in there, and last week was one of them as well.
And he's rostered in half of the leagues, but we talked about DJ Chark, who's been very relevant. Not a great matchup this week, but maybe the next 2 weeks could be, you know, league winner. I almost lean the Jameson Williams side over DJ Chark. I know he has not been as involved, but the talent is outstanding. And you look at the situations where you could have a player go from absolutely nothing to league winner. There's a lot of cards in the deck for that to happen with Jameson Williams.
I'm definitely on the Chark side of that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you're...
Safer for sure.
Yeah,
Chark is much safer.
I don't know if the transition can happen fast enough for me to be happy with it in fantasy. I mean, I feel like that could be 2 weeks from now as Detroit makes the playoffs, but if I was starting one this week, Mike, would you start Chark or would you start Williams?
If it's this week, it's definitely Chark. Again, the matchup is not something like DJ Chark is more of a next week type of a thing, but I guess the nice part is if you're not playing them this week, you can sit back and see if Jameson Williams snaps good up. Because 19% of the snaps, it's not going to get it done. I know he had the 40-yard touchdown, but it was I'm sure some of it was a product of the Jameson Williams talent and speed, but it was also just a very broken defensive coverage. No one within, I don't know, 15 yards of him.
All right, let's take a quick break and then welcome some running backs into the fold.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Some things may seem small at the time, but when you keep them inside, when you keep everything bottled up, you leave those emotions to fester, and they can have some serious negative consequences. I know when I was younger, you know, you don't want to always say what's on your mind. You don't want to be seen as ungrateful or insensitive or whatever, but sometimes you bottle those things up too long, and they develop into real problems. Talking things out working through what's weighing you down, it is more helpful than you realize. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I've had therapy. I've had practical, personal advances through therapy, whether I'm learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries personally, how to make better habits in my life. There's a lot of benefit, and you can give BetterHelp a try if you've been thinking of starting therapy. It's entirely online. It's convenient and flexible. It's also easy to get started. You just fill out one brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. And replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit USAA.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
All right, let's dive in. Let's welcome some running backs into the fold. We've got some heavily rostered players, but they need to be mentioned at the top. Just in case, check your league. I know a lot of you are in competitive leagues, and sometimes you scoff that we mention these names. Relax. We'll get to some deeper names.
We're a show for everyone.
And we pay attention to the roster percentage. So, you know, Jerick McKinnon, Zonovan Knight, those two players are over 50% rostered. But, you know, Zonovan showed something last week, 17 for 71 and a rushing touchdown. It wasn't the week that some people hoped for from Michael Carter, and Zonovan Knight's been involved. And then Jerick McKinnon, 9 targets, 7 for 112, and 2 touchdowns. You know, impressive week for McKinnon through the air.
Yeah, it would be Zonovan Knight for me, but Jerick McKinnon is he's a high variance player because he could end up, you know, just with 3 fantasy points. But comparative to the rest of these guys we're going to talk about, if he hits, I mean, he hits for nine targets and 7 for 112.
Yeah, it's funny because he's more valuable in the receiving game. I'm less excited about McKinnon, especially against the Houston Texans, sure, where, you know, this whole season you just haven't had to throw on him much. You know, this projects to me to be more of an Isaiah Pacheco game, and McKinnon kind of cycles in like the, well, who are you taking? Are you going Juju? Are you going MVS? Are you going? McKinnon's kind of in that conversation,
sure,
where, yeah, you can have a great game. You got Patrick Mahomes throwing you the ball, but also you could just be left out because you got, you know, 8 different guys you can go to.
Chuba Hubbard last week, 14 for 74 and 1. If you watched the game, he looked pretty good. 39% rostered. Has Pittsburgh this week, then Detroit. Chuba Hubbard is in that category of maybe diamond in the rough, in my opinion.
This new Carolina offense is doing one thing and one thing only.
Yeah.
They are running the ball.
They imposed their will against Seattle. It was a sight to behold. Like, sometimes we mock the establish the run, but when you execute drives where the defense knows you're running and then you pick up 6 yards a run or something, it's impressive to watch because the offensive linemen are pushing people around. Chuba Hubbard was getting involved in a big way. He's just one of those guys that sticks out to me as a sneaky, smart addition to your roster.
Yeah,
maybe my number one pickup in light of roster percentages.
Yes, Chuba is my number one pickup at running back for those that are available in the majority of leagues.
What I really like is he has the matchup against Pittsburgh, and if for a team that wants to establish it, you got to make sure that you can keep it close. And Pittsburgh is not a scary offense. That Pittsburgh could have Mitchell Trubisky as their quarterback yet again this week. So he is very interesting for some cheap volume off the waiver wire.
Another player that would be an instant league-winning type of addition if something happened, Jordan Mason, running back for the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, I agree.
Did nothing but establish himself further as the next man up, in my opinion, in this matchup against Tampa. Went 11 for 56, had some chunk plays. We know the knee for, you know, like McCaffrey will show up as questionable this week.
Atlas can only hold that globe for so long. And so while Christian McCaffrey has the world on his shoulders, should that prove too heavy, Jordan Mason will be
a lot of people
awesome.
Don't know. Atlas had severe tendonitis in both knees.
Right. And that's a big problem.
Yeah. For holding up the world.
You try and hold up planets.
I'm telling you, it's reasonable, but he'll break down. What are you doing with the Marlon Mack hype? 2 for 62 in the passing game, had the touchdown.
Not doing anything. I am not very high on Marlon Mack. I see him as, you know, he had one big play. Outside of that play, he's not really that involved. You still have...
Mike Boone is done.
Yeah, Mike Boone's out.
Well, sure, but you still have Latavius Murray. I mean, Latavius Murray's the guy there. Am I missing something? He's not injured, right?
No, he's still there, but his snaps, while they were, you know, trending up, the last 2 weeks they have trended down. He's down to 53%. Like, Marlon Mack, I'm not hot and bothered by it, but I do think that he is in contention if you have to break the glass.
Oh, man, I don't think I will say this. The matchup is okay for them against Arizona, but you probably don't have Russell Wilson. So now you're on a backup quarterback with a backup running back who, you know, Marlon Mack only played 32% of snaps. So put it this way. I'm not starting him under any circumstance. So if I'm picking up an insurance back, I mean, that would be Jordan Mason. That would be Alexander Mattison. These guys where if the starter goes down, they are absolute league winners. If Latavius Murray goes down to an injury, you can consider starting Marlon Mack.
Which New England running back are you picking up? Pierre Strong was the one that received the two targets. I mean, when I look at that offense, I'm like, I want the closest thing to Ramondre, but more snaps for Kevin Harris. He was the one who kind of started the action, and then Strong got going.
I would pick up Pierre Strong ahead of Kevin Harris. The question is what you believe about Damian Harris.
Yeah.
Damian Harris might be the correct pickup. He was doubtful all week, not ruled out until basically a game-time decision. That leads me to believe that it's possible he is back from the hamstring issue this coming
week.
It's
actually a thigh.
It's a thigh.
It's a thigh.
Yeah.
Or that's what I meant.
The hamstring would have been week 6.
Yes, thank you.
And then the illness was week 9, and then the thigh. Week 13 and 14.
So
this is a really good time for Damian Harris in staying healthy.
But we do know, I mean, you know, we're
not
talking
the
about
free agency year you wanted, Damian.
But we're talking about guys who could win your league who are on waivers. And I think it could be one of these two players, Pierre Strong or Damian Harris. But if Damian Harris is healthy, he's the dude. Like, there's not
Agreed.
A question. If Harris is active, then it's Damian Harris over Pierre Strong. And maybe this week he's not active. But then the next week, if Ramondre Stevenson is out, eventually Damian Harris will come back, will be the starter if Ramondre ends up missing 3 or 4 weeks with a high ankle sprain, which is a normal timeline. And so, to me, I'm picking up Damian Harris if he's available on waivers, which at this point he might be. He would
Are
be
you
the
that,
guy.
You're that concerned about Ramondre?
Yeah, I mean, a high ankle sprain.
Where did you get the high ankle sprain?
I guess that's just what it's
projecting.
Kind of been.
Like, the fact that he came in and couldn't finish the game, that is very troubling to me.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know for sure yet what it is. I saw
More
someone,
troubling than if he was just out to begin with the whole game?
Ramondre?
Yeah, wouldn't it be better that he came back into the game than he was ruled out immediately? For the long term, because
it's about
the staff took him back there and they said, "Hey, you can't play." Wouldn't that have been worse?
It's about the same to me, because I'm comparing it to guys who tweak their ankle, go off, miss a quarter or two, get taped up, and they come back and they're able to finish. Like,
and then they still miss a week.
Yeah, and then their ankle swells up and it becomes a problem. His was so bad that he couldn't finish the game. That's a red flag to me.
I just didn't know if you had heard something when
you said
3 to 4 weeks.
Well, if it's a high ankle, that's 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's all it was, is I saw some people speculating that they believed it was a high ankle sprain based on the play, and if that's the case, that's more of the normal timeline.
Ramondre's comment leaving the locker room said is, when asked whether he'll play next week, he said, "I hope," which, of course.
Oh, man.
So really, really helpful. You drop in Gus Edwards?
No, I'm not.
Why not? Just it's, in the insurance policy realm?
Insurance? I mean, he got a lot of
Are you dropping
work.
Him for Chuba?
I don't know. Like, Gus Edwards, if he were out there on the waiver wire, I'd be picking him up. It was him and J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah, what?
Like, Gus Edwards got a bunch of work.
And
they're down to a third string quarterback, probably.
Have we heard anything on J.K. Dobbins that he just wasn't injured? I mean,
he had a great game, and then he looked like he was limping, or it looked like he had a brace that was on backwards, and and then he just came in and got the touchdown and was fine.
He was like Gus Edwards.
Maybe he's got a new run. Maybe that's why he's out. Maybe
a little pitter patter,
trying on a new run.
Picked up that the Adrian Peterson where it's like one step and then throw your body forward.
The little hitch.
Yeah, but last week he was.
Looked more like dragging his leg, but whatever.
Again, not fantasy. You didn't get a huge output, but 13 carries, 66 yards. If you're going to end up with that from Chuba, that wouldn't be surprising at all. So I'm not dropping Gus.
James Cook. Last week, neither running back did anything for the Bills.
I don't think I want to.
Michael Carter, you moving on?
Yes. I am, yes.
Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt is in the same realm of
Jordan Mason or Kareem Hunt.
That's a really good.
I'm going to go Jordan Mason.
I like that you were having some internal dialogue where you were reacting to yourself, whereas
my initial reaction was, well, if they are propelled to the starter, who has more value? But then it became, no. I think the question is, who's more likely that the player in front of them is going to miss time? And
unfortunately,
Christian McCaffrey, who's on my team, he would be the more likely between him and Nick Chubb to just be overworked and have to miss some time.
And we didn't mention him much, but I'm trying to find more information on that J.K. Dobbins run, and I'm seeing a quote from him where he said,
"Why didn't he score?"
He says he was upset that he couldn't beat the Pittsburgh defenders to the end zone. Because he basically ran out of gas. He said, quote, still not in
that
the shape
sense.
I need to be in because I would have never gotten caught, Dobbins said.
Totally agree. That's why we all thought he was hurt.
It makes more sense as to why he came in for the very next play. Like, he literally was just back out there.
He said he's not all the way back, but he's going to continue to get better, and hopefully these 100-yard games will start turning into 200-yard games. That's his quote. So J.K. Dobbins is someone that we should be picking up off of waivers. I was worried he was
off
injured.
Off of waivers?
Yeah, I mean, I think J.K. Dobbins
Let me go look at this. Dobbins, sleeper, 74% rostered.
If he's out there, if you don't have an IR league, I mean, you would have had to have had him for a long time when he wasn't playing. So I'm just saying there might be a league out there that you should poke.
Let's dive into what tight ends we're welcoming into the fold. Greg Dulcich, 8 targets, 3 for 42 last week, takes on Arizona. So that's delicious.
It is. Again, it'll probably be Brett Rippon for the Denver Broncos, which sucks because the matchup is so good, man. Like, Hunter Henry, 70 yards. It happens every single week.
Are you? It doesn't bother me one bit that Russell's not out there.
Yeah,
not even
either.
The smallest amount. Russell's awful.
Russ played well for a tiny stretch of last game when he started running the ball. In a good matchup, and it was great to see.
I saw Dulcich get targets from Rippon.
But as bad as Russell has been all year, I'm not looking at a change to Rippon as a reason to not go after Greg Dulcich. The matchup against Arizona, I think you can pick him up and play him.
All right.
Chig Okonkwo.
Yeah.
23% roster, plays Jacksonville.
Five targets in 3 straight weeks, has the athleticism you want to see. Was a really good play this last week. It's not quite as good of a matchup, but still not a bad one.
Is that the right matchup? They play them back-to-back?
Wait, what do we have them as?
No,
they play the Chargers.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes more
that
sense.
That sounds more likely.
I was going to say, they just played Jacksonville, so.
This isn't the NBA.
With the back-to-backs?
Chargers are 19th against tight end and schedule adjusted. So right middle of the pack.
You know, heavily rostered, David Njoku. 80% roster.
Yeah, he's not out there.
He's the numero uno. And then Evan Engram, 60% rostered. You know, these guys are on. It tells you how the tight end situation is because Dulcich, Njoku, and Engram are probably picked up. So Chig and Hunter Henry would be the actual potential pivots.
Ah, man. Do you have the underpants for Henry?
Sure.
Against the Raiders?
Yeah, I got the underpants for Henry.
Okay.
I mean, the underpants, you need them for all tight ends. So, I mean, putting Hunter Henry in there doesn't feel any different than, you know, anybody. Jake. I mean, people were playing Foster Moreau for the last few weeks. You got to feel fine playing Hunter Henry if that was your options. And, you know, Chig is in the same boat. Chig has the chance to be a league winner at the position. Emerging as a design target. What I like about the offense is they run Chig plays. I mean, they just call plays for him.
They need him to – he needs more snaps to get into that contention. But he's definitely on the radar every week right now.
I mean, the nice thing is – I mean, he almost got in twice last week for two touchdowns. And he's a good player.
Yeah.
Any other tight ends that you want to mention? What about Trey McBride last night?
Oh. Okay.
What a catch.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't bring that up, Mike. I mean, that was one of the best catches I've seen at tight end in terms of holding on to it. I was 100% sure that ball was somewhere in the stands. And when they showed the replay, like I watched it, I was like, oh, gosh, he's concussed and that was not a catch. Then I watched the replay and he's like, he held on to it through one of the most brutal hits.
Yeah, he went flying a good 5 yards.
I mean,
big boy.
No penalty, right? I mean,
it was just a clean hit.
That was awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, ending 3 for 28. I don't know. I haven't seen enough for Trey McBride. And then the matchup with Denver, I don't love it.
Yeah.
The last thing I will call out because it was brought to my attention from some other industry friends. This is platform specific, but fellas, did you know that Driscoll of the Houston Texans has tight end eligibility over on Yahoo?
What?
Yeah. It's again, he doesn't on Sleeper, which is where we play. So this is not for everybody. I don't know what ESPN's doing with him.
Driscoll rules.
But it was a full platoon at the quarterback position last week.
They'll do it again.
If it continues and you can actually play a 50% snap quarterback in your tight end position.
Yeah.
I would do that. Taysom Hill 2.0.
I would do that over Hunter Henry.
Yeah, it's worth a look.
And he's actually throwing the ball.
A little bit.
He ran it more, yes. Yeah. But, yeah, so it's like.
It's a Taysom situation.
Yes.
For sure. Okay.
Wild.
Yes.
That seems weird to me because Driscoll's never been a tight end, to my knowledge.
I don't know what happened.
In the preseason, he switched for a second.
I remember hearing that.
Okay, because I was like, because for years he's been a quarterback, and now he's playing quarterback. But okay, great.
By hook or by crook in Houston.
He's got a plan.
Yeah, to play tight end.
Oh, Driscoll.
All right, let's dive into what team defenses we're welcoming into the fold. Super important for this week. Kansas City's probably rostered, but they play Houston. So
you better look.
They probably got signed last week with the Denver game. Take a glance. There are a number of interesting ones, though, this week. I mean, I've queued up defenses in a number of leagues already. You know, you have, in particular, the Steelers facing Carolina and Carolina facing the Steelers. Both directions of that matchup are attractive to me. The Green Bay Packers face the Los Angeles Rams. The Packers are lingering with a small amount of potential to still make the playoffs. They're at home.
No more Baker magic?
Probably not. They're at home against the Rams. So that one's interesting. And then I love the Saints.
Yeah. Okay.
The Saints are my favorite defense this week.
Is that because they're playing against Desmond Ridder in his first start?
That would be why, Mike. Yes.
It usually works out.
At home to boot. So the Saints are delicious. Cardinals defense, which has been very good for fantasy all year long, take on Denver and Brett Rippon. That's a great defense. Like, there are options. Like, to me, this is saying you and your opponent are probably both going to have a pretty good defense. But if you have the chance to play some defense, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Guard, you know, force them to play a slightly worse option. That'd be nice, too.
Yep. If you're on your bye week, I would probably pick up the Tennessee Titans because they play the Houston Texans. And that's been the matchup.
You didn't get put off by the
By the Cowboys, by the one. I'm not going to let the one game. I don't think they transformed in Houston. Maybe they come out and it's a very surprising Like, oh, Houston kind of figured something out this week. I don't think they did.
Houston's best offensive player still last week was Dameon Pierce.
Right, and he will be out.
And he's gone.
That's an upgrade.
It's an upgrade for what?
Just look at what happened with Cooks and Nico Collins.
You addition take
away,
by subtraction?
Take away their strengths, and their weaknesses become strengths.
I see.
I don't know.
And because they had so many weaknesses, now they have so many strengths. I get it.
We didn't mention it at the top. And by the way, week 16, the Browns take on New Orleans, Titans, Houston, Bengals, New England, 49ers, Washington. Then week 17, the Giants face the Colts offense. Ravens take on the Pittsburgh offense. That's a good one. Jacksonville takes on Houston. Didn't mention it at the top. We didn't have to mention it, but man, so sad to hear the news about Mike Leach.
What
an incredible coach and even better personality in the football universe. I saw the quote from Cliff Kingsbury, and I know we don't give him a lot of credit for stuff, but Mike Leach was obviously a huge influence on him. He's part of that coaching tree. But he made the comment that, like, football is much worse without Mike Leach and then also much less interesting. And it's like, man, I also saw a quote, a really good one this morning. He said, in a world of Urban Meyers, be a Mike Leach.
Mm.
And talk about two different dynamics of coaches. So that was really sad news to hear.
If you want to have a good time, you can go on pretty much an infinite YouTube dive on just Mike Leach press conferences, interviews. The dude is sharp and funny and fun.
Must have been a wonderful time being a player for his teams.
What was the pine cone quote? It's like, if you're in a pine cone war.
Yeah, there's like no time to get out of it. You just got to get in. I don't remember what it was.
Jason is correct. Go look up Mike Leach quotes. If a pine cone war breaks out, you don't have any choice but to engage in it. There's no neutral countries in pine cone wars. It's like,
I mean, there's a Yogi Berra-esque type of man.
Yes, it ranks all the Halloween candy, but like with full sincerity. And that's what makes the all of these quotes so great.
Him talking about coffee?
Oh, yeah.
You shared that one this morning.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's terrible.
You don't try and mask it. You just drink it down one sip at a time.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I saw him give the marriage advice to a sideline reporter.
Oh, that was so awesome.
Just told her, go elope. He goes, well, you want to keep it on the download, but you've done a really bad job of that right now, so...
All right. Well, rest in peace, Mike Leach. That was Welcome to the Fold, presented by our friends at Samsung Galaxy. You can unfold the edge-to-edge screen of the Galaxy.
It's huge.
Z Fold 4 to maximize your game viewing experience wherever you are. Visit Samsung.com to learn more.
Full stream ahead.
Well...
This was big because you have...
Yeah, just don't mess it up, guys.
It's genuinely a hard week. Some weeks are easy to stream a quarterback.
I think it's easy as in...
Black and white more so?
Yeah, I think that there's one clear option at the top, but people will be competing like no Lamar, no Kyler. I mean, there's people who have to make some moves here.
Yeah, and you have...
Wolford. I mean, goodness.
Well, and some of the guys that you have been in the streaming category, Jared Goff has been on fire. There's no way I'm starting Jared Goff personally on the road against the number one schedule-adjusted fantasy team against quarterbacks, but I am starting their quarterback as Mike White against Detroit. Detroit, they're dead last in schedule-adjusted fantasy points allowed to the quarterback position. In six Mike White starts over the last 2 years, the Jets have averaged 74 offensive plays per game. That's number one in the NFL. You're getting a lot of plays. Detroit has been really bottling up the run. They are a pass funnel defense. You could throw it on them and you can't run it on them. So I think Mike White's going to have to do work. And there's some worry about his current health, but if he is active, I think he's the number one one streaming candidate, even if he is banged up because of the matchup.
I feel like that is something that you should dig into a little bit more with the fact that you would play Mike White over Jared Goff. Like, Goff obviously had a monster week. I know the Jets are an intimidating matchup, but I feel like that's still a spicy, scary, nerve-wracking type of thing to do. You know, Goff's been a top five quarterback two straight weeks.
Has he been at home both of those
games?
Yes, he has, but he also didn't have DJ Chark or Jameson Williams earlier in the year when we were dealing with or DeAndre Swift. So if you take those players away,
he still doesn't have Swift. It's a fair point.
Swift.
I mean, yeah, it's a fair point.
1 week does not make the whole season.
Four out of five. Swift is killing me. But it's a fair point to say he didn't have the full arsenal of wide receivers earlier in the season. But it's very difficult to not take into account how bad he has been on the road comparatively to what he's been at home.
Yeah, I mean, he's a tough bench. He's not
on the road this year, 227 and 0.4 touchdowns per game. That's his average.
So I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying it sounded like an obvious thing, but I think for other people that's going to be a really difficult thing.
Sauce Gardner, the pass rush, the defense that the Jets are rolling out there has been trouble for plenty of other great teams. You know, like I said, they're number one in schedule adjusted against quarterbacks. They're number one in schedule adjusted against wide receivers over the last 6 weeks. They're the number one matchup or most difficult matchup for wide receivers. They just have a really tough time, and this is in New York. So
by extension, then, are you, and I know we'll talk about the matchup, but are you like the Chark, Amon-Ra?
Amon-Ra is in, but that's why I was where initially we, like, I think I'm even have Chark at the top of my waivers currently, but I'm going to adjust that because I would prefer those other players. Like I would pick up Elijah Moore to play over DJ Chark this week. And that's like part of the excitement for Mike White. It is a bummer because Corey Davis is actually, he's good. He kind of has moved himself into this category because he was such an early first round pick. Feels like he was an absolute bust of a draft pick. We were excited for fantasy. But he's good. Like, he is an actual asset to this team. But if you have Garrett Wilson, who is fully legit.
Superstar.
Elijah Moore, I do think, is a legit player, and they just something weird was going on, but maybe we figured it out. Those two wide receivers with Mike White is
you know the Lions very interesting. Are favored?
I wanted to look that up, and that blows my mind.
They're favored on the road in this game.
Wow.
Yeah, by a point.
Holy moly.
So just throwing it out there. Like sure. I think Goff is a nervous star, but you might not have the ability to pivot to a Mike White. You might have to be riding, and I hope that they can figure it out here
and
playing for the playoff.
What an amazing game that's going to be.
I will keep everyone filled in.
Didn't think Jets-Lions would be that exciting at this point in the year.
We'll keep everyone filled in through the course of the week. But in the League of Record playoffs, I had, you know, I was riding with Jared Goff last week. I picked up Mike White on Sunday just in case me and Kyle won and got into the playoffs to play Mike White this week. And that's currently how we have it.
Not nervous about a mid-game knockout like last week?
When I saw him just getting the crap beat out of him, it was like, okay, I guess we're not streaming Mike White.
But I'd be afraid of the rib injury coming up.
But he finished the game and, yeah, like, again, we need all week to. We need all the information on Mike White.
So, other streamers, who you guys got?
Kirk Cousins against Indianapolis. Indianapolis has been the 23rd ranked defense against fantasy quarterbacks over the last 5 weeks. They're at home. I think Kirk is an interesting play. He's got the best wide receiver in football, and you've seen, you know, he would have had a better week last week if Mr. T.J. Hockenson could catch a few more passes, and he was still got a couple touchdowns. So I don't like it as much as the upside of a Mike White game against Detroit, but I still think he's solid and safer than the ribs.
And this guy, he's on your waiver wire.
I did not have the courage whatsoever to do this.
I get
morning.
It. Oh, well, look, I am the merchant of steel underpants. Brock Purdy against the Seattle Seahawks. Divisional game, completed 71% of his passes. We get to give really fun stats like he's the only quarterback in his first start to beat Tom Brady. That's fun. 5 total touchdowns already. Like the fact that Debo is out, that really, really sucks. But there's so many playmakers around. He seems
to go face Seattle in Seattle.
He seems to fit exactly what the Shanahan system wants and needs. And like he's already. I can't remember the stat off the top of my head, but it's like essentially like long touchdowns outside the numbers. Like Brock Purdy basically already tied what Jimmy Garoppolo did for this team. He's more willing to go down the field. He's accurate. The fact that he remained on this team while they were committed to Trey Lance and they did all the stuff to bring Jimmy Garoppolo back indicated how much they had faith in this kid. So I'm going to trust the Shanahan faith and the weapons around Brock Purdy. I think you can stream him.
Some other options out there. Mac Jones has the Raiders matchup, but we need I think you need him to get some wide receivers back healthy.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan against Captain Kirk.
That's some diamond underpants.
I know, but Minnesota has just been – their secondary has been absolutely putrid. And then if you're playing in super flex leagues, there's a couple quarterbacks you want to not forget to pick up. That would be Colt McCoy is a must pick up now that he becomes the starter rest of the season.
He plays Denver.
No. I'm not saying as a streamer this week. I'm saying just in super flex, these guys are going to be picked up because they're starters now. Colt McCoy, Baker Mayfield, if he was dropped, two starters.
I don't know how much money it would take me to play Matt Ryan in my fantasy playoffs.
I
would probably just dip out of the playoffs.
It's a spicy
I'd probably just lay
Chipotle
down my,
burrito.
You saying you didn't feel like you could put Brock Purdy in there? That's where I was looking at with Matt Ryan. I'm like, oh man, against Minnesota, it should be good.
Whenever you need a midweek announcement to let you know that Matt Ryan's the starter still, that's about as scary as it could get. But I do like Mac Jones against the Raiders.
Yeah.
I think this offense has been willing to throw the ball. Like, he wants to throw it down the field, and if the running game isn't as good, maybe he gets that chance. Raiders can put up some points. I don't know. It's going to be a very interesting week. I hope that you already have one that you're really comfortable with.
Yeah.
But you might not. You might have had Kyler. You might have had Lamar. Might have had Goff, and you're nervous about the Jets. I mean,
yep.
Jason laid it out there. There's not a compelling case as to Goff's success against the Jets. Because the only player that's done remotely well against him in the last 10 games is Josh Allen twice.
Because he ran.
And I was going to say, because otherwise it's a bloodbath. I mean, it's not been doable. But, these Lions.
You know who
these Lions have good weapons.
Their offense is tough to stop. I mean, when you've got two good running backs, three great wide receivers, a good offensive line – That's what I'm saying. This game is going to be exciting, but I think I'm going to pivot my stream to Justin Herbert. So that's going to be who I'm going to roll with in the playoffs.
Really?
Yeah, Herbert against Tennessee.
Okay.
He's got all his weapons back.
Because I was thinking about going Mahomes.
Oh, that's a good one too. Mike, can I interest you in Jalen Hurts?
Wait, can I pick him?
Yeah, those are our three streamers.
He's only 99.99% rostered. Right. So if you're check your leagues.
You're going to need to drop him first, and then he'll be there.
Oh, yeah. If you drop and pick up, that is a waiver pickup.
Yep.
Smart. I streamed him. just mental warfare on your opponent.
I'm streaming a quarterback against you this week.
If you have the most fab, just don't do this.
Oh, if you have the most fab and you spend all the fab, you dump your fab to get your guy back?
That's stupid.
The move.
Yeah, just a...
It's a real... It is a power move. Yeah.
Until you didn't save your bid properly.
You forgot. Oh, no.
There's no takesy-backsies on that one.
Risk-reward situation, not good.
But yeah, definitely do it. All right, that is going to do it for today's episode of the show. We'll be back tomorrow. Brooksy got the bye week by about 5 points.
Oh, yeah.
See you tomorrow, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.